and now evangelist David Shannon.
In Luke, the first chapter, we read of one of the greatest mothers that ever lived. Now this mother, even though she was great, she did have things to grieve of, as all mothers do. She had things to rejoice of, as all mothers do. I cannot, from the Word of God, tell you if she was the best at keeping her home neat and sweeping and vacuuming and dusting and all those things. I can't even tell you if she was the strictest mother that ever lived. But there are a few things that we can learn about this great mother. A mother of excellence. A mother that probably surpasses most every mother that has ever lived. But yet I'm still not convinced that maybe she is the greatest that's ever lived, but she would surely be in that number of one of the greatest. Of course, that mother is Mary, the mother of Jesus. This morning, briefly, I would like for us to look at just a few things that we can learn about Mary from the Scriptures. You see, really, to be such a great mother and to play such an important role to mankind, to give birth to the Savior of the earth, really little is said about her. But what is said is things that we can learn about an excellent mother. And I think as we look at these qualities of an excellent mother, we're going to be reminded of our own mother from time to time. And today, and for this year, let's strive to honor our mothers. Truly, they deserve it. As we look in Luke, the first chapter, we see in verses 26, 27, and 28, perhaps reasons that we could start calling her the excellent mother. You see, at this point in time, she is not even a mother. And notice what is said of her in verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. I suggest to you this morning that to be an excellent mother, you must first start by being an excellent woman. Notice what else is said of her in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. How does a woman find favor with God? Mary, you were favored by God. You were looked up on God and said that you're blessed among women. How does a mother gain that kind of respect? Well, let's look at verse 46. And I think we see that it's not because of just the person she was, but it was how she handled her life. How she made herself react. In verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. You see, this morning, I do not think that we can have the best mother without having a mother that magnifies God, that looks upon Jesus as the Savior of the world. Oh, you see, we can have great mothers. Don't get me wrong. We can have great mothers if we're looking just in the sense of world. Of the world, of mankind, you can have a great mother that does not believe in God. But you cannot have the greatest mother unless she magnifies, unless she praises God, unless she realizes who the Savior of the world is. With that in mind, I would like to read you what is referred to as a tale of two families. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the tale of two cities. This little illustration I found, and it is amazing the difference one mother and father can make in the world. Notice this difference. In 1677, an immoral man married a very wicked woman. 1,900 descendants came from them after generation. 771 of these 1,900 were criminals. 250 were arrested for various offenses. 60 of them were thieves and 39 were convicted of murder. 40 of the women were known to have venereal diseases. These people spent a combination of 1,300 years behind bars, and it cost the state of New York nearly $3 million. That one family. The other family that we look at in the tale of two families was the Edwards family. The third generation included Jonathan Edwards, who was one of the great New England revival preachers, who became president of Princeton University. Of the 1,344 descendants, many were college presidents and professors. 186 became ministers of the gospel. Many others were active in their churches. 86 were state senators. 3 were congressmen. 30 judges. And 1 became vice president of the United States. No reference was ever made of anyone spending time in jail or in the poorhouse. Brethren, good parents make a difference. A good mother can make a difference in a child's life. I suggest to you this morning that Mary started out by being a good woman. She found favor in the sight of God. And as a matter of fact, in 46, she said that for her to live magnified the Lord. You know, a mother can magnify the Lord in so many ways, but perhaps the best way a mother can magnify the Lord is to her very own children. For if every mother across America today started educating her own children on the love of God, think of the difference that we would see just within a few weeks across America. Also, I suggest to you this morning a second reason that Mary was considered a great mother. If we look on in the second chapter and go to the 19th verse, we see by this time that now the little baby Jesus is born. And notice what verse 19 says. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I suggest secondly to you this morning that Mary knew what to ponder on in her heart. Too many today ponder upon the wrong things. Well, what did Mary ponder about? Surely she must have pondered upon the thought that she was a virgin and gave birth to a child. Surely she must have pondered upon that happened to her in the first chapter where she was told, well, your cousin Elizabeth, even in her old age, is going to give birth. And Elizabeth did. Surely she must have pondered upon the fact that also in verse 35 that she was told that when she does give birth to this child that it's going to be a holy child and that it's going to be the Son of God. Imagine how that made her mind work. Imagine the thoughts, imagine the nervousness that she was to give birth to a holy child, the Son of God. I also imagine that she pondered the thought that she had to travel while being great with child, as the Scripture says. You know, I remember traveling with Tracy when she was great with child. And we'd try to make it from that long stretch of Long Island down into middle and west Tennessee. And let me tell you, even with a modern day convenience, it's difficult to travel with someone who is late in the pregnancy. You need those rest areas real frequently. And you need those meals just at the right time. And then after you eat the meal, well, that was the wrong meal. I can't imagine how she must have pondered over the thought of traveling on an old donkey on a rocky path. Maybe it was hot, maybe it was cold. But the fact is, there was no modern day conveniences. And to think that now she has just given birth to what is supposed to be a holy child, the Son of God, and she looks around her and she's in a stable. Don't you know that made her wonder? Don't you know she had to think, I'm mistaken, I must have misunderstood the angel, something terrible has happened. This was supposed to be a holy child and now I'm in a stable. Imagine the pondering she must have went through just in those few days. But it's amazing how God can take even the most common areas and make us realize that He is there. He sends the shepherds there. And those shepherds come and they tell her the same message that the angel had told her. You see, she knew then that yes, this was the Holy Child. I'm sure that Mary pondered over all of these facts. And I'm sure today there are things that great mothers ponder over. You see, I'm saddened when I look at society today and I see, not guesswork, not I think it's this way, it's fact. Women today, before they become mothers, most do not ponder over how to be a great mother. Most do not ponder over the things they want to do with their children when they're growing up. Most young women today are pondering over what they're going to do with their career. Then they get into that career. They ponder over how they're going to climb to the top. Then they have a child. Then they ponder over how they're going to climb to the top while raising children. Whatever happened to pondering over what God has blessed women with and letting that be the source of encouragement? Letting that be the reason for being alive and being able later on in life to look at faithful children of God and to know that nothing is worth more than faithful children. You know, as I think about that, I think so often of a few short words that I read one time, and I'd like to share these with you. The establishing of a great family is the most important, far-reaching accomplishment in the world. It is far greater than designing the Golden Gate or the Verrazano and Narrows Bridge, far greater than composing Silent Night or painting the Last Supper. A great family is big business. Why do our mothers not believe that today? Why do our mothers feel like that children are in the way? I don't have time to raise these children. I tell you a true story. It was not long ago that a mother entered into a daycare center, very annoyed, very angry, asked to speak to the director, went into his office and said, "Listen, my child is rude and you better do something about it. I can't believe I pay you and you have my children acting like this." Brethren, what are we doing in society? We're paying people to raise our children. And now we're even admitting it. We need mothers that are going to be excellent mothers. Mothers that give their time to their children. Mothers that love the job that God has given them of big business, family business. Also, I suggest to you this morning that Mary was an excellent mother because she was a mother that also believed in correction. As we look in Luke, the second chapter, we can look on to the 41st verse and we see that they went to Jerusalem there for the feast of the Passover. Jesus was only 12 years old. And there, it's time to leave after a few days of the feast. The feast is over. They're on their way home. And the first day as they traveled, they assumed that Jesus was with other parts of their group that they were traveling with. But as the day grew on, they couldn't find Jesus, so they turned back. For 3 days, they searched for their little 12-year-old boy. Now, if you're a mother, you know the pain, the grieving, the agony that she went through. Thinking of all the terrible things that could happen in that big city of Jerusalem. In the back of her mind, knowing I never trusted that big city in Jerusalem. No telling who has my little boy now. He's probably already been killed. Oh, she was probably letting every thought go through her mind about her little 12-year-old boy. After all, it had been 3 days since she had seen him. Finally, she finds him. And notice how understandingly she corrects him. In verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And notice what Jesus' answer is. "How is it that ye sought me? Wish ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" The first words we ever have recording Jesus speaking directly were words He spoke to His mother. Mothers today are missing their children's first words. It's a shame. Today, We have Jesus' first words recorded in the Bible as He answered His mother. And those were the same first words that He lived by for the rest of His life on earth. I've come to do the will of Him that sent me. I suggest to you today that excellent mothers provoke their sons and their daughters to words at very young ages that they can live by for the rest of their life. If you were raised in a Christian home, I challenge you to think back upon the Bible knowledge you have. And if you had an excellent mother and if you were raised in a Christian home, you know that most of your Bible knowledge that you have retained through the years has been those things you learned when you were young. Those things you learned with your mother. Jesus states these words here to His mother that He lives by for the rest of His life. The same can be true today for children that have excellent mothers. Also, I suggest to you another fact of Mary, and that is in John the second chapter. And John the second chapter is a story that we're all familiar with, and it's the occasion where it's Jesus' first miracle, and He turns the water into wine. Here we see Mary as an ambitious mother. You see, here we see Mary as someone that wants to provoke her child to reach the potential that he can reach. She says, help them out. Turn the water into wine. Her son, Jesus, says, no, I don't think this is the time to do that. She ignores that, looks to the servants and says, you obey whatever he says. He turns the water to wine. It was the best wine of the feast. Everything has been a great success. God has been glorified because they have seen the miracle. Why? It all started with a mother who wanted the very best for her children. A mother that provoked her child to do great things. This morning, you can look at almost any successful person, and the majority, high percentage of them will have great mothers. Mothers that provoke them to go beyond the norms. Mothers that provoke them to exceed, to reach the highest potential that they could reach. Truly, Mary was that excellent mother. We see only another occasion, only two more occasions of Mary in the Bible. The next is when is in Matthew, the 12th chapter. Jesus is teaching the people there. And all the verse says is that Mary and Jesus' brethren were gathered outside there, and they sent word to Jesus that they wanted to speak to Jesus. Jesus, while He's still speaking to the group, makes the point to them that really we all know now, but at that point they didn't know this. Jesus says, who is my mother, my sisters, and my brothers? And He points to His followers. And He says, any of you that do the will of Him that sent me is that mother, that brother, or that sister. You see, it was through His mother coming by to talk with Him that He made the point that He still makes today, that we are to be a spiritual family. Not just an earthly kingdom in the sense that we have people reigning over us, but no, it's to be a spiritual kingdom in the sense that we have a father, a brother, and brothers and sisters upon this earth. He makes that point as His mother stops by to visit. Truly, she did great things for the ministry that Jesus set forth. The last two times we see her in the Scriptures is in John the 19th chapter as she's standing at the cross. Now you see, as we read there in Luke the second chapter in verse 35, I want you to notice what is prophesied. This child is just now born, and notice what it says. He's speaking to Mary. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Imagine the pain that Mary went through as she watched the crucifixion. The prophecy came true. The sword pierced her own soul as if it was the sword piercing her literally. As a matter of fact, in John the 19th chapter, when we see her standing by the cross, it says she's never recorded as saying anything. She was probably in too much pain, probably too much grief. It hurt her too bad to see her son dying, one of the worst forms of death in that day and time, the death of crucifixion. But Jesus looks down, being a son of great love, Him being in such great pain, probably did not notice many people. But He did notice His mother. And He looks to John and He tells John to take care of her. And it's not long after that He gives up the ghost. You see, a great mother will be with you, even in the times of pain. You know, it's amazing, from just a few weeks old, a child that's in pain begins to look for his mother. And by the time he's just a few years old, he's already crying for his mother. Anytime there's a pain, you hear the words, "Mama, Mama." And as we grow older, we still enjoy the comfort of Mama. Oh, you see, there's times when mother cannot do anything, really. She can't make the wrong right. But she can do as much as anyone that's on the face of this earth can do, and more. Jesus, in His greatest pain, looked down, and His mother was there. An excellent mother. The last time we see Mary, it's a different situation. It's after her son's death, and it's in Acts, the first chapter. The 14th verse says that the disciples were gathered around there in the upper room because Jesus had commanded them to wait. And who's there? Mary. The mother of Jesus is there waiting. You see, she didn't let the grief tear her life apart. She didn't say, "Well, I can't be a part of a religion that takes away my own son." But instead, she stands by, even through the pain, and she's there obeying God, as a great mother will do. This morning, how great are you in the kingdom of God? Too oftentimes we put so much emphasis upon things on this earth, and then it's only in later years, when time is too short to make changes, that we realize the beauty is in being what God has set forth in the very beginning. That of loving each other. That of being a good mother, a good father, a good child, a good grandfather, a good grandmother. David Lipscomb once wrote, "For a parent to require a child to wash his face and keep his body clean and not require him to learn and obey the Bible is to teach him that the body is worth more than the soul. Cleanliness of body is worth more than a pure heart and a clean and holy spirit. For a parent to require a child to learn spelling and reading and not require him to study the Bible is to teach him by a forcible, objective lesson that it is more important to be qualified to live in this world than to be fit to live in heaven. There's no evading this simple truth." God bless all those mothers today that realize what it takes to be a good mother.